Hey Enneagram friend, this is Abby Rodriguez, your certified and IEA accredited Enneagram teacher and coach. In this space, I'll give you a sneak peek into real live coaching sessions and teach you how to apply the wisdom of the Enneagram into your life for personal growth. The invitation each episode is to take on a posture of curiosity, about yourself and others, so that you can shift from merely surviving to fully thriving in your everyday life. Visit my website at abbyrodriguez.com and listen into this episode to learn more. In this episode, I share the coaching space with an Enneagram 9 that's desiring to better navigate her response to stress. We explore the natural stress response of type 9s getting pushed over into the lower levels of 6, but we also take a look at some healthy practices to better manage stress by integrating to the higher side of 6 as a resource. In our conversation, we talk about the natural fight, flight, freeze response that gets triggered when we're stressed and how we can instead ground ourselves to reduce our emotional reactivity. This type 9 was in my previous workshops in the spring, and so it was really a joy to get to be back in the Enneagram space with her. Listen in with curiosity and compassion and see what resonates in your experience. Well, as we come into this coaching space, I'm curious what feels most helpful for us to explore during our time together.
I am really interested in, I feel comfortable that I'm definitely an Enneagram 9. And so I am extremely interested in where an Enneagram 9 goes in stress more than in growth. I'm interested in both of them, but mostly in stress. And then how can, and then what can I do with that information?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm curious, what is it about that that has kind of brought that to the front of your mind? Have you been having some things that have been happening with regards to stress that has caused this to kind of be on your mind? What brings it up?
For sure. I think that there was a point that's, especially in the beginning of June when I had a lot of stressful things happening. There were a lot of things that were sort of out of my control. And yeah. I was worried and I was trying to figure it all out and anxious all the time. And then once those things happened and everything turned out all right, I just evened back out again. And I'm back into my regular harmonious routine filled life where I'm super happy. So I'm curious how I could have done things differently or recognized what was happening and maybe made some changes.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the way that you described it is a really good example of 9 moving to 6 in stress. So, you know, when we talk about the interconnected lines of the diagram, you know, you're connected to 3 and 6. And so 3 is your number that you go to when you feel safe and comfortable or maybe even growing. And then, you know, 6 is that number that you go to as kind of a resource when you're stressed. So when you are experiencing stress, it's kind of hits you, you know, it's all of a sudden you realize that you're in it. You didn't kind of see it coming or know that it was slowly building up. We tend to kind of get pushed over into our stress number. And so when you get pushed over into 9 across the diagram, it takes the form of being really anxious or concerned. Sometimes anxious or anxiety, people don't, that term feels too strong. Maybe not. Maybe that feels exactly like what happened.
It did. It does feel exactly right.
Yes. And so in that, it becomes this hyper awareness of what is happening around you, what could go wrong with the things that are happening, especially if a lot of those are your responsibilities or places where you need to show up and do or perform or speak to something. Or it can be things that have not a lot to do with doing. It's more like something is happening to you. Like it's a stressful season that is happening to you that is just really out of your control. And so with that 6 energy and on kind of the lower side of 6, you know, when we get pushed over into that stress number, that takes the form of being really concerned and anxious, maybe even really fearful. A lot of times 9s talk a lot about having trouble sleeping because it's almost
exactly
like they just
right.
can't. Yes, yeah, they just can't turn down the worry, the concern, the thinking through what could happen, what's about to happen. And oftentimes in that as well, because nines aren't naturally worriers or really concerned about everything. You know, there tends to be this posture of what will happen, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, we take things as they come. And so because that is true for nine, when they're, you know, in their number, when they get pushed over into six, it can feel like a really isolating space because it's hard for nines to always articulate what's happening for them. You know, it's almost like it's hard to explain the worry or the concern. They kind of like suffer it alone. And it's almost like they don't have the language to even articulate, like, I'm really anxious, or I'm really worried, or I'm really concerned. So how does that resonate in your experience? Do you think about this season in June?
I totally agree with everything that you said. And I think that something that I've done every time that I felt this way is create this list of all the things that I'm anxious about, like put them all down on paper. And then I take it to a therapist or a doctor and I show them, and always they are like, whoa, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But I feel better once I tell somebody all of these things are making me very stressed out and anxious and I can't do anything about them. And I kind of have to tell somebody else what it is, and I don't really know how to do it. So that's my, and they look really freaked out every time I do that.
But that's such a great way, though, to get it out of this like swirling headspace into, okay, here is what it is on that list. And sometimes, even in that process, you know, what you're describing is it takes you out of isolation, right? You can articulate it, you can talk through, you can kind of decompress some of this built up concern. But the other thing that can happen, hold on a second. The other thing that can happen is even seeing that written down on paper, sometimes you can pull it into a more almost like a logical, analytical space of, okay, I see this full list, and here are the things that I can do something about. Here are the things that I truly have no ability to control, right? Like, you can kind of logic into it. And then here are the things that, like, oh, I actually, this is a thing. This is a big deal. This is my responsibility. But I actually could ask for some help in this, right? This is a very practical thing that I could delegate, or that I could ask someone to do it with me. And so sometimes taking it out of that, the swirling, here's all the thoughts and I can't even synthesize them. That practice of writing it down, I mean, that really can be on the high side of six, this strength that you can offer into that stress space of analyzing it, right? Of, okay, here's all the things, here's kind of the categories that they fall into. Because the reality is that type six structure, it can also be a resource for you as its stress number. You know, we always think about the stress number being bad, right? The stress number is the bad number. The growth number is the good number. But your stress number is actually a resource if you intentionally choose to go to the high side of it rather than getting pushed to the low side because you're distressed. And so the high side of six is being really analytical, right? They have really great reasoning and logical analysis. And so taking those thoughts into almost like your pro and con list, but for you, it's like, okay, here's the worry list. And then how do I categorize this to make better sense of it? Whether that is to get some support or even to help reframe it of, okay, you know, I'm nervous about XYZ, but I have no control over that. So is there a way that I can remind myself of the fact that I have no control of this or whatever it might be? So that's a lot of me talking. How does that sound to you as I share that back with you?
It sounds fantastic. It feels like that's exactly what I'm looking for, because it was like I was on the cusp of something that was helpful during that time period, but I couldn't take it to the next step where it actually made a difference in my situation too.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to think about, though, that it's really nice to hear you say early on that being anxious isn't necessarily something that is something that I'm used to, or something that is, because I think that when I think about myself being anxious, I just label myself as an anxious person, and when I'm doing well, I've got that under control too. So I like that. It gives me a little bit of a way to manage okay, this isn't necessarily something that I do experience, and that's why I am super freaked out about it when it happens. So that's really helpful too.
Yeah. It's almost like all of a sudden your inner dialogue is in a foreign language, right? Like, how disruptive and disorienting would that be? But I mean, a lot of that language and emotion around anxiety, it just feels foreign. And so then you're trying to sift through it, you're having these feelings around it, feels hard to even explain that foreign dialogue to someone else, even if they actually experience anxiety and they really know, it feels hard to connect it with them, you know, enough to share it with a friend or your partner or whatever it might be. So yeah, it can be really isolating.
Very, very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. So thinking about these spaces when, you know, because it's really like we're trying to choose to go to the high side of six. And so when you know that you are about to go into a stressful situation, so, you know, your mother-in-law is always stressful, or one of your kiddos, as you're interacting with them, tends to turn into conflict, or, you know, this friend is always kind of, you know, complaining about things, and that tends to stress you out, right? Being in the positive outlook, right? It just kind of rubs on you. Yeah. So these things, if you know they're stressful, before you walk into them, you can do some intentional things to almost... it's almost like you're preparing yourself for it to be stressful, but it's really like you're regulating your nervous system so that once you enter into that conversation, it is not so triggering for you. Because a lot of times, you know, when we experience stress, what's happening for us is that our flight, freeze, fight response is getting activated, right? The problem is our body doesn't know the difference between a stressful conversation and a lion chasing us, right? Both things are equally biologically responding the same way. And so in that, we have this big reaction and we feel really anxious, or we might, you know, for the type 9 structure, when you're still in your structure before you move to 6, you might just withdraw away and kind of check out and just nod when it's appropriate because it feels like this is way too much to interact with. And so those things might happen, but if you can intentionally ground yourself, is kind of the language you use, right? Of taking a deep breath, of feeling your feet on the ground. You know, even sometimes when I'm in situations that are really triggering, I'll like rub my fingertips together. And it's just this very simple way to bring myself back into reality and to deregulate my nervous system. Otherwise, when these stress things happen, these stress indicators for our type happen, we go automatically into fight, flight, freeze, right? We just respond, yes. And sometimes we don't behave well in that because we're just trying to protect ourselves, right? So how does that sound as I share that with you?
It sounds so spot on. I definitely withdraw. I go into my head and just block out. I'm thinking about a million other things while this person is going on. And I hadn't really... I'd forgotten about the fight, flight, or freeze too, and kind of resetting my nervous system and my physical self to manage that better. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And again, if you know that you're going into that space, you can almost prepare yourself, right? You know, you're about to talk to that person, you're about to go into this gathering, whatever it might be, but just intentionally taking a few deep breaths, or even the whole time breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth, like just trying to calm yourself down. And it really gives you ability to see things more clearly too, so that when someone is complaining, you can accept it as that person's having a really crappy day, not you are too much and I gotta get out of here, right? Like, because otherwise it just, especially for the body triad, right, we just experience these moments that are, it's just the too muchness of the world, that, you know, 8s, 9s, and 1s in this body instinctual triad, we just experience the too muchness. And for 9s, when we experience that, you know, 9s, we withdraw. That's just part of our natural defense. But the problem is our type in that, it's almost like it's trying to protect us as if it is dangerous, but it's not dangerous to listen to someone complaining about their day or to engage in confrontation, right? Our type structure doesn't like it, but we can handle it, right? Like, we can survive it. And so as we're going through that, we can try to remove some of the automatic reactionary elements of our type, kind of these autopilot or default settings, so that we can make a choice. Because when you are grounded and centered, you might actually observe the situation and consciously realize, oh, actually, this is not a helpful place for me to be in because this person is name calling and they're just picking fights, right? It's not that your type is automatically withdrawing because it's conflict, but you as a conscious adult are making a decision, oh, actually, this isn't a very life-giving relationship, or this isn't very healthy for me to be in. And so you are making that choice, and you're doing it with full awareness of what is happening around you, not just your type telling you, you got to get out of here. Like, we don't want to be here for this. So,
and yeah. You're exactly right. I think in those situations, I'm not the best version of myself because I just, I'm trying to get away from you, you know, and physically trying to get away too, which people don't react well to, you know, nobody, yeah. People that are upset don't want to see you like physically recoiling from them.
For sure. Especially, you know,
option.
Yeah, right. And especially if who you're interacting with, you know, if they happen to fall into that emotional realness harmonic group, which is one of the things we talk about in the Enneagram and Relationship Workshop series. But it, you know, it's for fours, sixes, and eights. When they're experiencing something, you know, their whole subconscious strategy is trying to convey the intensity of how they feel. You know, like, I feel so hurt, or I feel so overwhelmed, or so angry, so afraid. And for other types that don't lead with that emotional realness, their response is to kind of recoil because it feels like, oh, that's too much. But that, you know, that person, they really just want you to mirror back and get charged up and fired up and understand with them. You know, that's what they're actually looking for. But, you know, we don't know that, right? Because our types are doing two different things in that. Your type's trying to protect you by withdrawing. Their type's trying to get invented out by expressing it. And so these are some of the miscommunications we have and not even realizing it, right? We're not trying to hurt their feelings by withdrawing. We're just trying to get out of there and protect ourselves a little bit. So, yeah.
What I think that's such a wonderful, then you've given me such a wonderful tool as a nine parent to a four child daughter, to prepare myself ahead of time. Hey, mom, are you ready for a phone call? I will be in a minute. And give
for
myself
sure.
That ability to be ready for that big energy that she's getting ready to send out and not just feel completely overwhelmed and like I need a nap after talk to her. So that's
for
wonderful.
Sure. Yeah. And even in that, you know, I mean, sometimes it feels like, oh, if I'm taking a deep breath and grounding myself, it's so that I can be a calm presence. But sometimes it's also so that you can be intuitive, because maybe what she needs in that is for you to get all whipped up about whatever happened to her so that she can have that, you know, it's almost like this expulsion of energy and then calm down enough to see it clearly, right? Otherwise, for those in that harmonic group, fours included, it's almost like they just keep expressing the intensity of it until you get it, because you are mirroring it back, and then they will calm down. But if you never mirror it back for them, they just keep trying harder to get you to understand that they're really hurt or misunderstood or angry. And sometimes it's almost like we in our type make it worse because we're trying to like calm them down before they're actually ready for that, right? Like, they got to get it all out before they're ready for that. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, it's fantastic information. I can't wait for that class. I hope it works for my schedule.
Yeah, for sure. So the other thing that I want to offer too is, when you're in situations where you realize that you're getting stressed, you know, sometimes we don't realize it until it's almost like we're knee deep. And now it feels like, oh, I've actually been stressed for a week. And now I'm just realizing it. In that space, it's also really good as you are becoming more cognizant of that, to still ground yourself in that. So sometimes it feels like, oh no, I've missed the chance because I've already been dysregulated this whole week, or I've already, you know, done XYZ, I've already been anxious. But it's not too late to kind of come back into, sometimes people use language of centered, like come back into center, because that still is giving you some space to regulate your emotions. The other thing then that can give you space for is to process what's happening for you. So when you're already triggered, already flooded, these things are happening, you realize at the end of the day, gosh, this has been an awful day. Offering yourself almost this kindness of taking a few deep breaths and kind of sensing into how do I feel right now? You know, what emotion is coming up for me? If that feels really hard to name the emotion that's coming up, sometimes even just sensing into your physical felt sense of, okay, what is happening in my body? You know, so as I sit here, I feel my feet on the floor and I take a deep breath. What do I feel in my felt sense? Is there a buzzing sensation at the end of my fingertips? Is there a tightness in my chest? Is there pain in my back because I've kind of been holding it all together all day? And so sometimes even naming that physical felt sense in your body, especially being a body type, can help you almost have a conduit to emotion. And so once you can kind of breathe for a moment, feeling that tightness in your back or that rigidity in your jawline, then being curious of why? Why is it there? What emotion is happening for me? And then you can access it sometimes too. And sometimes people also need a coaching space for that. You know, a lot of times with my like regular coaching clients, we will talk through experiences and it's almost like a customized guided meditation of me asking it as they're experiencing it, because sometimes it's just hard to access it. But if you can, that's a good place to also be curious about what emotion's there. It might feel like, oh, fear is there because I feel anxious, but maybe anger is also there too. Or maybe there's a feeling of hopelessness. That's why you're so concerned, is that it feels like the sky is falling and I don't know how to fix it. You know, there could be other things there too. And that unprocessed emotion, you know, that wears us down. It wears us down, and that can cause that stress response too. So how does that sound as I share that with you?
It sounds fantastic. It sounds like a definitely more productive than just shutting down, which I think is probably, or trying to go to sleep, which is probably what I would do. What is the next step though? After I am in touch physically and those emotions come up, you mentioned coaching. Can I do with those emotions at that time?
Yeah. So the very process of articulating your emotions can be helpful in what, you know, when people say processing your emotions, what processing your emotions is just letting yourself feel them. We skip over that process, you know, for most types. Some types get stuck in that. They get stuck in the naming it and then they never let it go. But for most of us, we skip over the naming it and we just quote unquote let it go, but we haven't, because we actually never let it happen to us. Like, we never processed it. And so when you name that emotion of, actually, like, I feel really scared, I feel really angry, I feel really sad, giving the emotion a name gives you the ability, one, to experience it fully, right? So that we're not withdrawing away from it, we're not running from it, we're just allowing ourselves to be sad for that moment, because that's already true whether we acknowledge it or not. It's already happening in our human experience, whether or not our type is shoving it into our subconscious. And so, because it's already true, it's already there. And so giving yourself some space, sometimes even just like taking a minute to just breathe and allowing yourself to feel that emotion, naming it is really helpful in that. And if naming it feels hard to articulate it, that feeling chart that we use in the growth and self-care class is really helpful for that. Because sometimes feelings are a foreign language that we just need more keywords for. So using that, and then as you name it and allow yourself to experience it, then it can dissipate. So sometimes it will stay longer, right? You might need to breathe for a few more than the last time you did it. But acknowledging it is so powerful in allowing yourself, one, to experience it, but then also for it to dissipate naturally. Because sometimes these lingering feelings we have, it's because we're just ignoring them. Like this lingering feeling of anger, it's because we just don't want to deal with it. So then we're actually always living in this state of anger or fear or whatever, rather than letting the emotion cycle happen of it comes, we feel it, and it goes, right? It's this natural cyclical experience, but it gets constricted in us because we don't actually let it to it comes, we don't allow ourselves to actually process and experience it. So then it never goes. It just gets stuck in our experience. And it can come out sideways, come out and making a really harsh comment. And it's like, where did that come from? I didn't think I even was angry about this, but apparently I am. And so that's what the reasoning for that, of naming it. And then also too, in that process, being curious about it, you know, why? Okay. So I've named fear, I've named anger, I've named sadness. Why? What am I afraid of? Why am I afraid of that thing? And it's a gentle inquiry. In these moments, sometimes when we name fear or sadness or whatever, sometimes our type structure comes online and we feel like, oh, you don't have the right to be angry, you know, or, oh, that's so silly. Don't be afraid, right? These judgmental critiques happen about our emotion. And so the invitation is for it to be a non-judgmental observation of those emotions and a okay. non-judgmental inquiry of like, huh, I wonder why that's there. You know, almost this kindness that you might, you know, interact with a child of like, huh, it seems like we're really angry. I wonder why. I wonder what's happening for us, right? Not this, you know, don't be angry, grow up, whatever. But this like gentle, compassionate that you would have for a little kiddo to offer that to yourself too. Mm-hmm. And as you are able to articulate some of that, being able, you know, and journaling is a really helpful thing to kind of lay some of that out. You'll start to see patterns of things of, yeah, like I have a need here that's not getting met. You know, this keeps coming up of my feelings getting hurt here, or feeling really angry about this, getting pushed into this decision. And so from there, from those feelings, you might see some needs that you have that are just not getting met because you weren't fully aware of the feeling that you were having. And oftentimes you kind of have to start there. It's hard to know what you need if you don't start with, what am I feeling? So how does that sound as I share that with you?
Oh, it sounds, I love what you're saying about it dissipating, feeling it and giving a chance, because I certainly am not someone that is excited about feeling any kinds of feelings. I'd like to just be happy and go along about my business and everything just be fine all the time. And of course it isn't. Yeah. So that giving myself the opportunity to feel it and know that it's going to cycle through, that mm-hmm. feels really good, because I think for so long I've just felt like if I don't feel it, it's not happening, but it definitely is happening. It's happening to my physical body, yeah. happening to my mental health. And so that's wonderful. And offering myself the same kind of kindness that I would offer a child is like a aha moment yeah. there. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, and it can be hard in these moments when we begin to shed light on these aspects that feel like hard to see in the light, or maybe even that emotion feels challenging to experience. And so in that process, if there are moments when you are cognizant that you are judging or critiquing or shaming yourself for it, to allow that to dissolve and there to be a gentle like inquiry or a compassionate observation. Because, you know, even thinking about this whole experience, if it's starting with stress, all this happened because you're just stressed, right? You know, if a friend was stressed, you're not going to critique and shame them for being angry or whatever. You're going to offer compassion of like, gosh, that seems like a hard season you're in, or that feels like a lot on your plate, right? And so offering ourselves the same compassion that we might offer a friend or a kiddo as they're processing their emotions. Sometimes those are easy tricks for us to be kind to ourselves, to practice being kind to ourselves.
And speaking of practice, is this something that can be, is this something that can be put into an everyday practice where there's a specific, where I can create a specific time or make it part of my routine, which I love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is that yeah. something that just sitting with it, or is there something that I can listen to that would help me on my way?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So a specific meditation that I often offer with regards to processing emotions, are you on Insight Timer? Have you ever gotten that app before? It's a free app on your phone.
I'm not. I'm okay. On Calm.
Okay, so it's similar to Calm, but it's a whole community of people that offer free meditations, and they're from all over the world, which I think is really fun. But in there, and I'll email this to you so that you have it, but there is a meditation called the Welcoming Prayer.
And, oh, I love that. I remember that now. Okay.
Okay. And so that is really helpful, especially like coming from the Christian faith tradition of inviting inviting that emotion and it's helpful to have a guided voice taking you through the steps, because it's almost like, okay, all I have to do is listen to the instructions, right? Like, I just have to have enough strength to listen to the instructions and do what they're saying rather than thinking through all the steps and being willing to enter into it. And the other thing that I would also offer, and so that is helpful when you realize that you're being triggered. So you realize you're angry, you realize you're overwhelmed, you realize you're afraid. If you can walk away into a quiet space and go through that, it's really helpful. The other thing that I would offer though is easiest to identify what is happening in your experience. So when you are really angry, when you are really stressed, when you're feeling anxious, it's easiest to identify those things when you have a regular practice of cultivating awareness. And so that sounds really fancy. What I mean by that is you have some type of routine, some type of practice in your daily life where you are bringing awareness to what is happening to you in real time. So that could be mindfully walking. That could be doing yoga where, you know, not just like exercising, but actually breathing and bringing attention to what your body feels like as you're going through the process. That the practice that I do every day is called centering prayer. And so it is a wordless prayer. I sit in silence for 15 to 20 minutes. And I'm just consenting to the presence of God. I'm just inviting silence in that space and just abiding. And so in that though, and when we have these spaces and rhythms where we are silent and we're in solitude and still to some extent, right, you can do mindfulness walking if that is helpful to kind of, you know, still be paying attention to what's happening around you. But that helps to kind of increase your awareness of yourself. So when you are sitting in silence, you have practices where you're kind of exiting out of the hustle and bustle. You're exiting out of this autopilot. I see something and then I do it, or I think about something and then I have a feeling. It increases your capacity to notice what's happening in yourself, you know? So it increases your capacity to notice, oh, I have knots in my stomach. I wonder why. And then kind of settling in of like, oh, actually I'm really anxious. I didn't even realize it, but I did notice that I had knots in my stomach first, right? And so the more of those practices that you have, and it can be different things, right? People have different practices. But that's my biggest encouragement. You know, I studied the Enneagram for years on a very intellectual level, kind of trying to keep in mind these practices that I should do and hoping I didn't get triggered before I could use the practice. But it wasn't until I started doing centering prayer as a consistent rhythm that I felt like I began to actually realize my feelings in real time, especially for me as a type 8, right? It's just harder to access that. And so it wasn't this consistent, okay, now I've blown up and I'm going back and apologizing. That's what it was just for years. But having these moments, and that still happens, don't get me wrong, that still happens. But having these moments where I realize before I say something or before I yell, because anger is easy access for me, of like, oh, I'm actually really like flooded right now. Like I can feel the heat of my anger in my body. And so that gives me this ability to pause because I notice it in my physical experience. So how does that sound as I share that with you?
That's exactly what I was looking for. And I'm wondering if when you're doing your centering prayer and you notice those, the knots in your stomach or maybe tension in your back, is that something that you recognize and then let go, like in a typical meditative state? Or how does that work? Are you just sort of feeling and breathing?
Mm-hmm. Noticing and breathing? Yeah. So specifically with centering prayer, as thoughts or sensations come to mind, you acknowledge them and you let them go. So acknowledging them is like, I see that, I know I'm thinking about that, and I let it go. And it's not because it's not going to circle back after your 20 minutes, right? But it's almost this like holding environment where you are moving out of your ego structure. So you're, you know, for you, you're type 9, for me, my type 8 structure. And I'm almost like sinking down below it into what is more of a, you know, people have different language. They would say essence or true self. I don't get hung up on the language of it, but it's almost this space where you are practicing not being reactive. You know, you're practicing sinking below you have this set aside space, because the more that you exercise that muscle when you're not being triggered and there's not these reactions around you that you're responding to, the more you have an awareness of yourself so that you don't get as triggered, right? Or when you get triggered, you realize it of, I actually have some space to pause because I realize I'm getting upset because I have practice being present and aware when I didn't need to, in the sense that I wasn't being attacked or insulted, or my kids weren't doing something that's making me angry. It's usually what it is for me. So how does that sound as I share that with you?
I think that makes so much sense. And I love that it is fits so nicely into what already makes me feel good and harmonious. Honestly, sitting quietly for 15 or 20 minutes sounds great.
For sure. Yeah,
that
for
sounds
sure.
Wonderful. And I understand from my yoga practice that I understand the benefit of that. And I never thought about taking that from off my yoga mat into my daily life where I could recognize. It feels so good to be able to maybe have the ability to not to respond and not be so reactive when I have these big feelings and anxiousness and feeling out of control. Maybe I won't get to that point. Mm-hmm. It won't feel so steamrolled.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And in the moments when it gets away from you, you know, you realize hours later or days later that you were reactive, you just offer kindness to yourself, right? And sometimes there's natural consequences. You need to go back and apologize to someone, right? It doesn't mean that that everything is null and void. But in those moments, still being kind to yourself, because it's a process and we never arrive, right? There's always new stimulus that comes into our experience. There's new people, there's new situations, there's new stressors. And so it is a consistent practice and it's a consistent cultivation of awareness. We never, you know, reach the plateau and get there. It's a consistent practice.
It feels great. It feels better than what I've been doing.
For sure.
So
for
nice
sure.
To have some. So nice to have some steps and some solutions and ways to know myself better. Oh, how helpful! Thank you.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Okay. Well, unfortunately, there's only so much time as we come to the end of our time together. Any last thoughts or things that you want to offer into the space before we end our time together?
I'm so grateful that you answered my questions. I'm excited to know that I have choices in my to go to high of the six, and I can't wait to put some of your suggestions into practice. And so the next time I see you, I'll give you my good report.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being in the coaching space with me and for being curious. I really enjoy getting to be in this space with you. So thank you.
Me too, Abby. Thank you so much. Take good care.
Hey, Enneagram friends. Right now, I am forming type groups, groups of people that are learning together in kind of a workshop style, but they're all the same Enneagram type. And if you've never had the experience to meet with others of your same Enneagram type, I'm telling you, it's really a life-changing experience. Getting to hear from others that think the same way or that act the same way or have similar feelings. There's a lot of solidarity that comes in being able to meet with others of the same Enneagram type, but also a lot of learning and growth that can happen as you are navigating life and people have different practices or approaches that have helped them along the way. So there is an interest form linked in the show notes that you can fill out to express interest in joining a type group. If there's enough interest for your specific Enneagram number, we'll go ahead and get started and start meeting in November. If there's not quite enough interest right away, we'll wait and meet in January, where more people have a chance to fill out the interest form and join in. There will be 4 sessions for your type group. We'll talk about type-specific things that have to do with just your number, growth practices, awareness, self-awareness, and compassion for your type as well. We'll talk about things like instincts and subtypes, some of the things that are a little bit more challenging to talk about when all the other numbers are present, because it's just too much information to get that specific. Submitting the interest form does not commit you to joining the group. It's just to get a sense of who's interested and how we might put these groups together. Fill out the interest form today so that you don't miss out on your chance to join the next type group.